Welcome to a special episode of Back Pass with Russ. It's special because this one is in collaboration with our friends, the Bola Bola Show, the inspiration behind Back Pass with Russ, I must say. We had planned for a fuller house to be available today, but unfortunately, our friends at the Bola Bola Show were decimated with work commitments, I shall say. And the main man fighting the fort for the Bola Bola Show, Mr. Stephen John, is here. How are you doing, Stephen?
Hey, Russ, I'm doing all fine. Good. It's good to collaborate with the Back Pass with Russ. This is our second collaboration, for those of you guys who don't know.
Second collaboration, but third episode.
Yes, correct. Maybe you want to take through to the audience, you know, what was our previous collaboration?
Yeah, the previous collaboration was on the Euros. So we covered like Euros in the 90s, and then second episode was Euros in the 2000s. So it's quite good, and I'm missing your partners, Elvin and Bala. Wish they would be here for the next one. We got one more coming up, one more collaboration coming up after this episode. And in any ways also, this episode, of course, goes out on 31st of August. So wishing all Malaysians a very happy Independence Day. Selamat Hari Kebangsaan to all Malaysians, my beloved Malaysians, my beloved Malaysia also.
And 31st of August.
Such is the affection that I share for the country.
Including Guillermo Di Pola.
Stephen, you want to send out your wishes to Malaysians?
Well, I mean, it's a good collaboration. In fact, the topic suits well for the occasion as well. And so I hope all our listeners on the 31st of August, you guys will be relaxing at home, spending your time with your family, and do take your time to listen to this episode, and wishing you guys Selamat Hari Merdeka.
Yep. And now with us, we've got a special guest, the first time on both our shows, in fact, I would say. You know, he's not appeared on our shows. He's an author, he's been a journalist as well. It's none other than Mr. Gary Cole, a guy with lots of experience, lots of knowledge. It'd be wonderful to speak to you, Gary, on this topic that we're going to speak about today. How are you doing,
Legend
Gary?
Legend on both of the causeway, huh?
Yeah. Well, my pleasure to meet you guys, Russ. Sivan, good to see you again here, this time on Zoom. And actually, when you spoke about 31st of August, it's also good. It's also a special anniversary for me because it's actually the first anniversary of the book launch of Raw, which is also on my background, Raw Football Legends of Singapore. Because of that same day last year, we had a football match between the Singapore and Malaysia Legends in conjunction with the book launch and also the unveiling of a foot sculpture of Singapore's only football Olympian, Chia Boon Leong. So that day is also going to be special for me for a different reason, but also Selamat Hari Kebangsaan Di Merdeka Malaysia. Yeah. Pardon my butt. Yeah.
All right. No problem. Thanks. You're right. You did well, man. And in fact, I've got to say, you know, it's been, how many months ago did we meet in person, the three of us?
February.
It's quite ironic.
Yeah, correct.
It's quite ironic we're back again on an episode now, so it's nice. So let's get the show on the road. So in case you do not know what we're going to speak about, if not read the titles on YouTube or Spotify, the show is going to be about M-League in the 90s. So it's a pretty interesting story, and we'll start chronologically. So we'll start with the year 1991. And let me just share my memories of that year. So 1991 is the year I started watching football. So that's when, you know, all this became a supporter of Manchester United, Italy, Inter, a bit later, but especially Manchester United and Italy. And, you know, I was watching football. So one day, I was just watching football. The antenna was out and grainy images on the screen. I came across this match on TV Tiga. It was the Malaysia Cup final, Johor against Selangor, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember who the opponents were, but Johor made quite a big impression on my mind, my young mind at that time, 7 years old, watching that match. And later in life, I found out that Abbas Saad wasn't playing in that final. But for some reason, Abbas Saad stuck in my mind and he became like my go-to player or the player I, you know, followed. And Johor won that final. It was a muddy pitch. I remember raining weather in KL. It was a Merdeka Stadium as well. So that's my memory of that final. Steven and Gary, in fact, for that matter as well, do you have what do you remember of that final?
Well,
Yeah,
unfortunately,
Gary can go first, no problem.
unfortunately for 91, I may have to give it a pass because I don't remember much apart from reading from it years afterwards. So, because I only began following football in 94. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Well, 1991 was definitely an interesting year because if I remember reading in the newspapers at the start of the season, Pahang actually just signed. They brought back Zainal Abidin, they brought Dollah Saleh, they also signed Fandi Ahmad. I think there was another Singaporean player, I
Pohan
can't
Abu
really
Sama.
remember.
It's
Pohan
Pohan
Abu
Abu
Sama,
Sama.
is it? Okay,
Yep.
yeah. And of
I
course,
think
Alan
Sundram was also
Davidson.
there, right?
Yeah,
Sundram,
I was thinking V. Sundram as well, but I'm
yeah.
not
But
too sure.
Sundram only half a season there. I think it's Pohan afterwards, I think, if I'm not
Okay,
wrong.
okay.
Okay.
Right.
But.
So they gave Pahang this title called the Dream Team because of the superstars of players they brought. In fact, the late Shabby was also a part of that Pahang team.
Yeah,
If I'm not
correct, correct. That's right. Yeah,
mistaken, yeah.
you're
So
right, you're
it
right.
was a very, it was a Pahang team that I think everybody had a lot of expectation for that year, but surprisingly, I only took the football Malaysian Football League quite seriously when I moved in sometime in the middle of 91 to Shah Alam. I was staying in Seri Muda, and that's when I realized, you know, how Selangor is very big, very huge, and you know, all my most of my classmates, I would say 100%. Except for me, one person only, they're all rooting for Selangor. But
What
unfortunately,
were
in
you
that
voting
semi,
for?
I was not really rooting for any team at that time, but I was kind of hoping Pahang will do something lah. But I didn't
Okay.
anticipate that the whole semi-final was going to be a one-sided affair where Selangor demolished Pahang 4-0 in Merdeka Stadium and 2-0 in Kuantan. I'm thinking like, what the hell happened? And you know, that Selangor team, of course, you know, so, I mean, there's a lot of many names. I think Jaya Kantan was one of the Carol Stromsik, quite a few household names lah. And of course, I was hoping that Selangor looked like, I mean, not to say hoping, I was kind of feeling that Selangor is going to be the favorite for that Malaysia Cup final because the fact that how they dismantled Pahang that easily, just like that. And in the other semi-final, that was the most epic battle probably I've seen in the when it comes to local football at the time between Johor and KL. Johor had, of course, Abbas, as you mentioned. They also had this guy called Elvin Boban, and
Yeah,
Alistair Edwards
every
was
moment.
also part of that team as well.
Yeah.
KL, if I'm not mistaken, they had a player called Zoran Nikolic, and that game went on all the way to the wire. I think the first leg in JB, Johor won 2-1. Then in the second leg in KL, I think KL made a comeback, scored, I don't know, quite late in the game to force the game into extra time. And I think somewhere along the line, Abbas got sent off. I think he got
Yeah.
suspended or what, I'm not too sure. But definitely he was going to miss the
He got sent
final.
off, yeah.
Okay, all right. So I think Joe scored an equalizer or something. So the match finished 2-2 and, you know, they made it to the final. And of course, you know, on paper, we were thinking Johor without Abbas, I mean, how could they possibly be able to beat Selangor? It felt like Selangor's title for the taking. But man, football always have some unexpected twists for us. And as you just mentioned, you know, Johor in the rain in Merdeka Stadium pulled off one of the most magnificent result of the season. But by right, it shouldn't be a surprise because Johor actually even clinched the double that year. They won
Yeah.
the it wasn't the Premier League. I think it was still known as a semi-pro league. They won the
Semi-pro
first
league,
division
yeah.
title. Yeah.
And I if I'm not mistaken, Abbas Saad was also a top scorer in the league that season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you spoke about Pahang. Now Pahang's dream team. I just Googled it. In fact, Sundram was playing from 91 to 92 for Pahang. So that dream team of Pahang, would you wanna expand on it? Tell us more about that dream team and that season after now, after losing that semi-final to Johor, or rather to Selangor, getting demolished by Selangor, in fact, for that matter. Now, 92 was their season, was their year, right?
Yep, 92 was their year, basically. And just to add on a few more names into the lineup, they had this player called Ahmad Yusof. If I'm not mistaken, later on,
Right.
he also became the coach of Pahang. They also had the goalkeeper, Khairul Azman Muhammad. I
Yeah,
think at the time,
Khairul
the
Azman,
90s, was
yeah.
considered one of the, I think was considered the Malaysia's number one
Iconic
goalkeeper.
goalkeepers, yeah.
Yes. And I'd also got a player called Mubin Mokhtar. So it was a star-studded lineup. I think 92 was probably the year where everything gelled together for Pahang.
Was
They
Alan Davidson there already?
Yes, Alan Davidson was there already as well. Yeah, he
Oh,
was there.
he was class.
I mean, top one of the top defenders, like basically.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, back then the imports that we signed in the Malaysian League at that time were not, you know, unlike today where you tend to have players who come in half of the season and then get changed another half of the season. But back then, when Malaysian teams signed import players, I mean, sorry to deviate a bit, but I thought this should be something worth to be highlighted here. When teams sign import players, we're not talking about any kind of import players. We're talking about quality players. Players like Alan Davidson, players like Scott Olerenshaw, Abas, Alistair, Zoran. You know, a lot of these names, if you ask me, they are quality players, top-class players.
And
Players
those
that I
guys played
think
for
were...
the national teams as well, right? They
Some of
broke
them,
into the
yes.
like Australian team, yeah.
Yeah, some of them actually even were kept by their national team. In fact, you know, some of them
Yeah.
could have had a decent career in Europe. But I think because of the offer that was given here was quite good that they were willing to come. And many of them, you know, stayed quite a, I mean, they had a lengthy career in Malaysia. They and quite often when we interviewed them in the Bola Bola show, when we asked them about their memories of Malaysian football, they're always grateful because their career in Malaysia was probably the highlight of their career, coming into a league, playing in front of capacity crowd, traveling to places. You know, playing in front of a huge crowd sometimes can be intimidating. Those feeling, those moments where you want to live as a football player, and in Malaysia, especially in the Malaysian Football League, they achieve that dream. So coming back to this part, yeah, go ahead, Gary.
But among the Australian players, I think Alistair Edwards sparked the trend a little by going to Europe after his stint with Selangor, because I remember him featuring for
Oh,
Millwall.
yeah. I think he went to Millwall. If I'm not mistaken, it was exchanged with. David Mitchell
The
coming
Australian
over this yes
to
yes
Selangor.
yeah so yeah about the Pahang team, well, I mean, I think 92 was a year where everything clicked together. They won the Liga Perdana. I think it was still known as a Daniel Liga Perdana, a Liga Semi Pro, and also they
Semi-pro.
clinched the Malaysia Cup by beating Kedah. One, I think it was a 1-0 in the final. I think the goal was quite early in the game. I can't remember who scored the goals. I think it was within the first 10 to 15 minutes of the game. Not the most memorable final, but you know, Pang got it done finally.
He got the job done. And so then the dream team lived up to his billing then as the dream team. Because I remember when they I mean we spoke to Fandi as well. And he was mentioning as well, when they brought all these star players together in the first season, he somehow did not gel. You there? Ah, yes, you there. Okay. So somehow the team did not gel, and they struggled in that first season, as you mentioned. And then once the second season came about, they got stuck in, and then, as you say, they won the league title. So it's also a lesson that you don't always win with the. With all the star names in your squad, we've seen this many times in football, even in Europe. So now moving from 92 to 93, maybe Gary, you want to share some? Do you have any memories of the 93 league season?
Well,
In fact,
92, I
before
remember.
that, I'll just digress a bit. Do you guys remember or do you keep a collection of sticker books in
I
those
used to
days of
have
Malaysian
one.
league?
Actually, I used to have one in 93, but I'm not sure where I keep it now. Probably it's gone. But there were still some spare stickers that stick in one of the cupboards. That one of them I had include Malik Awab, Singapore, Thibaut Szasban of
Kedah.
yep. And I think one or two Kelantan players. That's when I also begin to know some of the names based on what I look at the sticker album. That was when I first heard of Alan Davidson or even Zainal Abidin Hassan, Dollah Saleh, Azman Adnan, the Malaysian side. And for the Singapore side, you got all these players. This was the first time I had quite, you can say, the start of an extensive approach into football. Although I began to follow it a lot more religiously in 1994, in the peak of their Malaysia Cup campaign. So that's when
Yeah,
I
I
first.
remember in my case, I used to buy the stickers and I used to exchange with my cousin in Seremban. We'll do it by post, So I'll put some stickers, whatever stickers extras I have that I've already got the stickers, I'll post it to him, he'll post it back to me, whatever extras he have. So we had this exchange program going on between us, and yeah, so but somehow we still never managed to complete the book, but those were quite good memories. Anyways, going back to the 92 finals, even I've googled this. Pahang won 1-0 to Kedah against Kedah. The goal was scored by Zul Hamizan Zakaria on in the seventh on the 7th minute of the
There
game.
you go.
Yeah, so 1993, of course, for Singapore. I mean, this was the first year I religiously started watching the Malaysian League and Malaysia Cup as well. So Singapore's team had the dream team. Now the dream team was in Singapore. You know, Fandi was back, Abasad was back. Okay, I
Yeah.
mean, Abasad is not Singaporean, but he
And
used to play for Singapore.
I think that came because FAS did a major revamp after their relegation from the Liga Perdana into Division 2. So they wanted, and the fans were all clamoring for all the big stars to come back because back then there were quite a number of our national players who were playing in
In
Malaysia.
the Malaysian state teams, right? Yeah.
Correct. So it was in a bid, you can say, to rally, put all the resources and rally towards that one team. And headlining this act was obviously Fandi Ahmad when fans were clamoring for him. The same thing that you would get again a few decades later when Fandi was clamored to coach for Lions 12 in 2014-15. Yeah.
Yeah, so then you had all these guys. So Malik came back, Fandi, Alistair Edwards, Abasad, Sundram, Borat Abu
Wohan.
Sama. Yeah, so you know, all these guys came back. That was the Singapore dream team. But another team overshadowed them. The
Kedah.
Kedah team, Sivan. Tell us about the Kedah team, then I'll share my memory of that final, of the Malaysia Cup final in 93.
Okay, I don't really remember much about the Kedah team, but I remember their boss, Ahmad Basri, if I'm not mistaken, his
Correct,
name.
Ahmad
He
Basri.
was, yeah, he was very, very instrumental and influential person within in Kedah. So I think he was a very important figure lah, in really raising the team profile. I think one of the main player that I can really recall is the goalkeeper Ahmad Sobri, one of the mainstay of the team. I think
Radi Madin
Joachim
also
Hock,
playing for them.
Radi Madin,
Radi
yes, Radi
Madin,
Madin.
correct,
Okay,
correct, correct.
those of
A
you don't
politician
know.
nowadays, Steven.
What's that again?
Well, the newly appointed exco for youth and sports in Kedah, well, he is one of
Well,
the two ex-footballers elected along with Badrul
Well, footballers have to plan their career ahead, after the
Bhatia.
after
But
after the
it's
heck they
rare
go
to
through.
see footballers get into the ballot box.
Okay, I think
That's a
Radi
topic
Madin
for
was
another
there.
day.
Yep.
I think among the players that they had, Peter Nicketon was probably one of them. Tibor Zaban, yes, Gary just
Correct.
mentioned. I think he was one of the players of that team.
Lim
Honestly,
Tiong
I
Kim
don't
was
know.
there.
Come again?
Lim Tiong Kim was there.
Yes, that's the name I was about to come to. Yeah, Lim Tiok Kim. I think Tan Cheng Ho, was he there also?
Yes, apparently, yep.
Correct. See, so if you look at it, it's a quite a very a strong Kedah
Diverse.
team lah. I think they were. I'm not too sure whether they were expected to win the double that year, but they did. In fact, if you look at the trend that goes on between 91 to 1994, you will have the team that loses the Malaysia Cup final that year, but they end up winning the year later. So you had Johor,
Oh, yeah.
you had Pahang defeating Kedah, then you had Kedah beating Singapore, and let's keep the rest as the show
And
goes on lah.
actually, there was actually one related article I read back in 94 Kickoff magazine. I think this was in July, where they talk about this particular unique trend, the League and Cup double. And as what you said, the losing team in the previous cup final winning the cup final, the cup the next year. There was such an article that existed then.
Okay, let me. There's one Kedah player you've both not mentioned. It's quite an iconic defender, Olubumi Adigun.
Oh,
Oh,
yes, I
yes.
remember. Yeah,
remember.
very
With
strong
his scarf,
defender.
remember? The scarf on his neck, the white
Yes,
color
yes.
scarf. Yes, he was a, you know, oh, it's a beast of a player. You can imagine going up against him, you know, and wow. Tough to go up against him, you know, looking at his size and his height. Whoa, man, he was a beast.
But I
And I
didn't know
think
that. When
for
I
former players, I've also mentioned this.
knew that Nigeria qualified for USA 94, of course I didn't take into consideration to look into the details of that Nigeria team.
Yeah.
There was a part of me that felt that I was actually telling to my classmate, "Hey guys, wait and see, like, Oliver Adebayor is going to play in the World Cup. We're going to watch him in the World Cup." Then when I saw his name was missing, I'm kind of fine, like, what the hell is going on here? How come they missed out? Then it didn't, I mean, at that time, I never really took, then only realized, you know, actually, you know, of course, you know, Oliver
Nergal
Adebayor
standard.
is a, I mean, he's a top class defender, but it turns out, you know, I mean, there are players that I would say a bigger beast than him playing in far more superior leagues in the world. I mean, that's when I got to know
Yeah.
that Nigeria squad from 94.
Yeah. And one more player, Manjaman. Quite a
Yes.
unique name. That's what stands out for me, Manjaman. And going back to that final, okay, 93 final, okay, Singapore lost the league to Kedah, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Gary? They lost to Kedah in the
Actually,
league?
in the league
Or
itself,
was it to
they were in
Selangor?
Selangor, they were in Division 2. Kedah
Selangor.
was in
Division
Division
two, yeah.
1.
Okay, yeah. But Kedah won the Division One title. Singapore was second in the Division Two, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So going to that final, I was in Malaysia and in KL itself, but I wasn't at Merdeka Stadium. I was in a relative's house, so this is a difficult time for me, man. All my, cousins are all rooting for Kedah because obviously Malaysian team. I'm coming from Singapore, so I'm completely in this, caught up in all this fever, Malaysia Cup fever, the Singapore dream team and all. I'm a big fan of Singapore at that point in time. And but actually, just to share, only in the Malaysia Cup. When it came to national team, I didn't support Singapore, strangely enough, but that's how the family influence was. But yeah, going to that final, I was the only one supporting Singapore and was deeply disappointed when they lost. It was also a rainy day. It was a bit rainy, I think,
I think
if I'm not
somebody from
mistaken.
Singapore missed the penalty, right?
Yeah, Alistair Edwards missed the penalty. I was going to get to that point.
Okay.
Alistair Edwards missed the penalty. There was something shared with me in confidence that the game was kind of fixed. That someone already knew someone mentioned that. Okay, the scoreline will be 2-0. Kedah will win. Singapore will miss one penalty. Exactly that happened. So that builds up nicely to what we're going to speak about next. Part of what we're going to speak about next. The next season, of course, 1994, the trend continued. Singapore won the league, won the double.
And
Gary,
actually,
maybe now it's your turn to shine.
yep.
It's the
So
time
actually,
when
what
you
happened?
started watching.
Actually, what happened then was after the 1993 Cup Malaysia Cup final defeat, Singapore made a couple of monumental changes in their squad lineup. Very monumental. The starting goalkeeper Abdul Malik, who was then our
Yeah.
best goalkeeper, and V
But he made the
Senduk.
errors in the 93 final, right?
Well, there was that, and a few years later, he was suspended by Balestier and was banned for football for match fixing, which was quite unfortunate because David Lee once rated Abdul Malik as his closest challenger to the number one jersey, the best challenger during his time as a national goalkeeper. So the other one was obviously V. Sundramoorthy. And when
Yeah.
that shakeup happened, and there was also that controversy involving Ken Worthen coming to Singapore in
Oh,
January, leaving
yeah.
just weeks
Before the
before
season
the
started.
correct. And Douglas Moore, who was then appointed as a technical director, stepped in. So what actually happened was there was quite a bit of upheaval during that whole process, especially the supporters of V. Sundramoorthy, who were disappointed that their hero was dropped. Abdul Malik less so, but the anger from the both of them was quite evident on the papers. Then you got players who were unsettled by how Ken Worthen was training them. So thereafter, Ken Worthen actually eventually resigned for reasons that he know that time the new paper went very big. Where is Ken Worthen? Why did he resign? Like all the big saga, you know how new paper went big these days. Jeffrey Lowe, S. Ghulam. I think there were a few more new paper guys. They were really onto this lead up during the campaign. I still remember they also had a lead up to the opening game of the season where they had a like 20-page special involving the team. Like how, who are your defenders, who are your goalkeepers, who are your key players, how is the team likely to fare, and so on and so forth. So looking into the 94 season,
Did
the next
Alistair Edwards leave also?
he left for
Yeah.
Selangor.
Yeah.
Selangor.
Yeah.
So
So he that's the third departure from that 93
Correct,
team.
but the departure was less acrimonious than the first two. And actually, there was also a bit of renewal going on in the national team in Singapore in 94. Lee Man Hong had already, it was into his second year, Rafi Ali probably second or first year. Then there were a number of youngsters also coming into the squad. So you got your veterans and your young players, a decent mix. You still have your Abbas, Zhang Jun, and this time around, Michael Vana, who returned after 92. Yeah. And
Michael Wana is what we're gonna speak about next also
yep.
on this in the same year.
Correct.
Yeah, and also the young players you were mentioning, I think Kade Yaya and all, were these guys already considered young or
Kade was, I
experienced players at this
think,
time?
Kade is, I think, into his third year in the national team in the Malaysia Cup. Relatively young. Nazri, even though he was young, he was already established.
Established.
Yeah.
Steven Tan.
Steven Tam was first spotted in 92, so around the same time, a
V
budding talent.
Selvaraj.
Pisavaraj was mid-season in
Ah,
94,
yes.
mid-season. 94,
Yeah,
they also
and
had the younger ones, Budi
Saswadi
Khairon.
Mata Dasuki, that's another player I
Ah, yes,
remember.
correct. He established himself as a starting left back after during that campaign.
And I got to share also, I know Steven was a big fan of Singapore in this year. Is that right, Steven?
Yeah, I was. I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed about. In fact, they were my team that year, simply because my icon, my idol during those era was Abbas Saad. I haven't seen a footballer like him. I mean, of course, when people ask me who was the greatest ever footballer you've seen in the Malaysian League, I didn't have a chance to see the likes of Santokh Singh, the late Mokhtar Dari, or
Yeah.
R.R. Mugam and all that, because their era
Yeah.
was be
Before us, yeah.
by the time I could remember or recall watching football, they are pretty much they're already gone already. So
Yeah.
it was Abbas who was the player that really made me fall in love with watching the Malaysian Football League, especially what
Correct.
he did in Johor in 1991, and then of course in 94 with the Singapore team. And I don't say is that I used to think that this was a Singapore dream team. I didn't know that the dream team was actually coined for the team the year before
The
that.
year season before that,
I
yeah.
always thought this was the dream team because they achieved the double that year. And they were unstoppable. I mean, I know for a fact that a lot of again, I must say that I had a good time with against all my Selangor classmates because I was having the best of them in 91, and I also had the best of them in 94. On both occasion, Abbas, I mean, not just, I mean, sorry, on this occasion, of course, is Abbas and all that disappoint, breaking their hearts, and making me a happy guy in
That was
school,
quite
lah.
a good semi-final. I remember Singapore getting battered, but hung on at Shah Alam Stadium.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I
It
mean, it
was
was one of those
good. They
days
hung
when
on.
it's one of those days when Shah Alam, for a Selangor game, you could get 80,000 people inside the stadium.
Yeah, full house, full house. Oh. At Selangor were like huffed and puffed and huffed and puffed. Barikas couldn't score enough goals to overturn
Yeah.
the deficit from the first leg. And Singapore scored the vital goals as well to make sure they edged into the final. Gary, you were mentioning about Sundram's acrimonious exit. What was the reason behind it?
Well, it was partially linked to something that you wanted to talk about. Somebody, there was
Oh.
allegations that Sundram had probably thrown a few games here and there, allegations, but they were probably later cover up once he became part of the Young Lions coach where they buried the hatchet. FAS and Sundram buried the hatchet on this matter. That's why Sundram was allowed to prosper in the coaching scene in Singapore in the mid 2000s. But after 93, Sundram never played for Singapore again. Yes, but he still managed to draw crowds in the SLA or even when he signed for Woodlands, who were then playing in that
Not for
division.
the national team as well.
Never. Not after
Oh,
93, no more.
okay.
No more.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought he still got
No.
selected for the national team.
Abbas Saad still managed to play after the Geylang scandal for the national team. Abbas Saad. He still managed to play one
Oh,
more
yeah. He was called up
against
by
South
Terry
Korea.
Venables. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, so that leads us, okay, of course the final was an epic final.
4-0.
I mean, Pahang is a good team. Not that Pahang is a poor team or a weak team and all, but to beat them 4-0 in the final, that's something else altogether. I think first half was already 3-0, if I'm
But
not mistaken.
Pahang
First half was
were
1-0.
missing Alan Davidson, who was suspended after a red card in the second leg semi-final.
Ah,
Oh,
okay. That
okay.
detail I didn't know. I
Who did
didn't. I
Pahang?
remember, don't remember.
Who did Pahang open the semi-final? I'm trying to recall.
Pahang probably
Was it
beat
Perak?
Perak, I think.
Perak. Oh, okay. All right.
And that, and then okay. So then Singapore won the, did the double. Everyone's enjoying themselves here. To watch the these matches, Steven, Singapore's matches from Shalom. How do you manage to watch Singapore's matches in the league, not the final?
Well, the back then we don't really used to have that many live games, so it's quite
Yeah.
limited. So
So
the
just one
main
game, I
source
think, one game a week, right?
probably we'll get one game
You
a
get.
week, lah. In fact, it's surprisingly, even for the league decider between Singapore and Kedah, we also didn't had a chance to watch the game live. But I mean,
I
in
would like
Malaysia,
to.
maybe in Singapore you guys had it, but we didn't really had it here in
I
Malaysia.
think it's because of the probably the if I wouldn't want to say differences between Singapore and Malaysia on the TV side issue, because that issue still persisted in the Lions 12 era. But I do recall from my side that there were a lot of those Singapore games with on occasion a number of TMP journalists crossing the border to watch a few rival games, especially when Kedah was playing. Kedah was playing one team in the league. Jeff Freeland went to watch to act as a so-called spy for the team. Yeah. But that time I didn't watch live match until the Malaysia Cup Final 94. So much of it I listened on radio. So that then when people still enjoy listening to the radio, following the commentary, how they and their captivating commentary to keep us
So you've
all
never
at.
been to the National Stadium in those days?
No.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I didn't, but and
But I
also
follow
actually
the papers.
I got to attribute my poor eyesight to the Singapore team in the Malaysia Cup, because from 93 I watch and I would always be very close to the TV. I would be sitting close to the TV watching the games, and then that's how my eyesight got spoiled and started wearing specs. So yeah, so thanks to Singapore.
I was lucky enough to watch the final because I was shifting house that day.
In the
So
stadium.
no, on that day, the final, the day of the final.
On TV,
So it yeah, so it was kind of, as you know, back then in the 90s, when you're shifting house, trying to set up your TV is not as easy as it is today. Somebody has to go climb up the roof to go and set up the aerial and all that kind of stuff. So I think I pestered my dad or one of my uncle. I said, look, I need to watch this final tonight. If the house is not ready, it's fine, but at least make sure the TV is ready. So we
Your
were actually watching
priorities,
the
you got
game.
it set.
So we were basically watching the TV just with a very small space confined in front of it for us to sit down, because everywhere else in the hall is still with all the cupboards and boxes of the house. It's still not yet been dismantled or put in its proper place. I mean, we could have done it on that day, but I said, no. Tonight, I just want to, let me just focus the game. Tomorrow, I'll do everything for you all. Don't worry, no problem. So, yeah.
That's some very, very nice memories. I mean, pleasant memories. And the unpleasant memories after that final, the explosion of the match fixing scandal. I think the two of you,
Actually, it
I mean,
wasn't just
this
after the
came as a
final.
shock. Pardon? Actually,
It
it was
actually
brewing.
wasn't after the final. It was throughout the whole year. Throughout the whole year, as and when you read the paper, suddenly you're getting this thing called match fixing. And at that time, it was too hard for me to comprehend actually
Yeah.
how deep is this problem and what is actually is the
Correct.
issue, what's actually going on
As
here.
yeah, exactly. The same thing as me as well. I also heard of all these terms, match fixing, and Singapore coined a word called kelong in those years. They
And
call it
actually,
kelong. So you keep reading about it in newspapers. You kept reading, okay, this guy got caught for match fixing, he's charged, he banned from football and all, but what does it mean? You don't know. And how many players were involved, managers. And there was a lot of rumors also, a lot of people saying, oh, so and so was involved. And like in Singapore, I think all the prominent players were also said to be involved. You know, all your
actually,
fundies and all, they were all hooked in and said, okay, this guy's probably been involved as well. All these rumors were flying about.
well, actually, in 1994, what happened was there was actually a match fixing case on trial that involved David Lee's local club employers, Changi United. Yeah.
Okay.
And David Lee, I think, probably was implicated in it, even though it was a team manager who was sent to jail for the offenses. And actually, the first time I heard about the match fixing much closely is when Singapore was closing in towards the title. But it first came into prominence during the 1994 Asian Games in Hiroshima when Malaysia sent one player home,
Chan
Chong
Kee Kong.
Ping Kong Yap of Penang. Like after the first game, he was sent home because the police wanted him for investigations. Claude Leroy was a very unfortunate coach of Malaysia then, very
Yeah.
unfortunate. I think that is the one blot from this French guy's checkered international history. But after that exploded, especially after the Malaysia Cup final, when one day out of the blue, you see the reports, 100 over players, managers,
Yeah.
officials, and a number of them were prominent, including the then Perak goalkeeper Nazrin Chong, I think if I'm not wrong, Wong Kok Sam, Ali Jinnah, then later as the Kedah Young's promising young duo, V S Tina Segaran, I think, if I'm not wrong. And this young striker, Farizan Che Hamid from Kedah as well. So it's like almost the whole peninsula and probably and Sabah, they were deeply affected by it. Singapore, one of the rumors involving why Singapore left the Malaysia Cup in 95 has partly to do with this, partly. But obviously,
Okay.
although I've heard.
Another prominent player is Azizul Abu Hanifa,
Oh,
Perak
yes,
legend.
correct. Oh,
Yeah.
yes.
But Azizul managed to recover and play later on after his suspension. One of the rare few who managed to play on. The rest, many of them never played again. And if I recall correctly, once they were deemed to be guilty, they were all dispatched to faraway places, and that's it.
Yeah.
Everything disappeared from there.
One of the things in Malaysia, what they do is that players either they, I mean, I don't think many of the players went to prison or jail for their crime, but
Exile.
more of them were sent into exile. Basically, you know, they were asked to, I mean, the term in Malay is called buang daerah lah, basically. Which means they cannot be staying there. They cannot be staying there, working in a specific town. They have to be going somewhere else. And what else? Of course, career came to a premature end. Yeah, and I think that
And
was
it's in yeah,
it
carry on, carry on.
basically had a huge, like what Gary said, it basically a profound effect on the talent pool, and whereby at the time, you know, our national team coach was Claude Leroy. And he had quite a very tough, a difficult time lah, because there was no young blood coming in because most of them were affected, and he still needed to rely on Zainal and Dola, who were already, you know, I
Thirties,
think they're already in the
veterans
30s
already,
already. Yeah,
and
so it was,
Azman Ada is your only strong
young
midfield.
striker.
Yeah,
Correct.
correct. And it didn't,
And
I mean, the whole thing didn't end on that year itself. It even continued for several more years. I mean, it
oh.
was quite painful at that time when to see all this happening. And as I mentioned, you know, I didn't really understand exactly what was the issue behind it. But and for me at the time, I took it a bit personally against the players because I felt like, you know, they really betrayed the trust that we as fans have in them.
Oh,
But I can
yeah.
understand, looking back now, I can understand why many of them had to do it because, you know, it was a semi-pro era. Things were not sanctioned properly, you know, the terms honoring contracts was not really given the respect is due. And when you're a football player, especially in a semi-pro time where you're not paid so well, whether in your full-time job or even in your football career, you know, desperation hits the roof. And what choice do you have when you have family to feed, you know, house to pay, bills to, you know, all those things? So of course, I'm not justifying what they've done, but I can understand
Why they
the
did it?
reason, yeah, why did they did it.
Okay. And then also from 94, then Singapore pulled out of the league at the end of the season. It was disappointing to
It
find
was a
that out.
shocker, a big shocker when I read it in the
It was, yeah, a
papers.
big shocker and a disappointment. And I mean, the conspiracy theories was also that Malaysia couldn't take it, that Singapore won the double, so off they go. That's a common
Now,
conspiracy theory here.
well, if that's the case, they should have kicked us out after in 1978 and in 1981, but we still stayed. Or actually, even in all those pre-independence Malaysia Cup winning years, they could also have kicked us out. In fact, I would just say one trivia, which was in the book. Actually, that time in 1921, after Singapore won the Malaya Cup with your military players, all the other Malaysian states start complaining. So the complaints all began from that first year.
Okay.
But that said, also the official excuse was due to the allocation, the match ticket allocation, the gate receipts. But I think there's something a bit more to it, but I think it's best not to go too deep into it, lest we get found out. But the thing for the need for survival is really there. And I think it's like until professionalism really began to take roots in Malaysia, I think especially once PFAM come in, once TMJ began to reform, I think particularly after that, that's when things begin to be in place. Although you
There are
do
still issues,
come,
bro.
there are still, yes, correct. But one thing
We're
is,
just not
once
being paid.
I know, correct. But once Singapore is out,
Not getting
guys don't
paid
have
is one thing. Owner justifying why the players are not getting paid is even a bit better.
Oh yeah, I heard of that. What?
Yeah.
Cup noodles with Malaysia Cup? What is that? I heard that from Bear.
Yeah, that's a story of today. So, yeah. Okay, talking about nicer things, back to nicer things now. The Borneo teams, what do you remember of them? I recently just featured the Sarawak team, and they were quite a formidable team, I remember, in those years.
Under Alan
Sabah was
Best.
also not easy to play against.
Just want to add a bit like, on the Singapore's exit from Malaysian football at the time. I like you guys, it was a shock for me. I mean, when I read the papers, it came out of nowhere. Like you were not, I think nobody was prepared for this.
Not even the
And
players also. They were already training towards the campaign. They were even saying who were the players who were coming through, who were the foreigners they signed. Even Kalish was the replacement striker for, I think, Abasad or Maivana. Then there was also young players, Reza Hassan, and who was already in the team, Zulkarnain Zainal, who was actually supposed to be the squad. They were supposed to be in there, but because of the exit of the Malaysia Cup, they never got to play in one.
I mean, I felt a deep hole for me because I wasn't sure how I'm going to cope with the new season, in terms of, because you have to remember up to that point, the rivalry between Singapore and Selangor was such a big thing in Malaysian football at the time.
Correct.
So without it, I was just wondering. But this is where my love affair with the teams from Borneo picked up. This is where I started to
Okay.
appreciate the teams from Sabah and Sarawak picked up. Because, in the 90s, if you look at it, they became more. They became more prominent. They were challenging for honors. They started winning things. And, there's
Yeah.
always this era. I always remember saying to people about Sarawak in the 90s, because just to divert a little bit, in 97, when I sat for my high school exam, one of the things that you need to go for your oral exam. So the day before that exam, basically I was reviewing all the heavy subjects like business, industry, politics, those kind of things, because these are the kind of topics I believe the teacher will be asking.
Okay.
So on the day when I went for the exam, as you will be asked to call into a room where you'll be seated in front of three teachers who they will evaluate you, asking you questions and all that. So I walked in, feeling nervous. The first question came up from the teacher's mouth is, "Do you like football?"
Wow.
I knew this is a slaughterhouse. I knew I'm going to commit three murders here already. I knew
Wow.
it already. And seriously, by the time I walked out, the whole room literally was a horror movie scene. It was filled with blood. It was filled with blood. Because the question was, first, do you like football? What do you think about foreign coaches and players coming to Malaysian football? And can you give an example? My perfect example at that time was Sarawak football. Because Sarawak football, there was an era before Alan Vest and after Alan Vest.
Okay.
When he came
Yes.
in, Sarawak not only became a team that started winning, but became a force in Malaysian football.
Correct. Yeah.
And the same thing I also can say for Sabah, with the arrival of Scott Olorencho and all that. Because if you look at it, I did list it down. 92, Sarawak won the FA Cup. 93, 94, Sabah were runners-up in the FA Cup. 95, finally, third time they won it. 96, they won the Liga Perdana. Sarawak runners-up in the FA Cup. Sabah runners-up Malaysia Cup. Sarawak won the Premier League in 97, and
Yeah.
Sabah were runners-up in the FA Cup. And 1999, finally, a team from Borneo managed to bring the Malaysia Cup back. I
Brunei.
mean,
It
sorry,
was Brunei.
Brunei. Yes,
Brunei
but a
against
team in
Sarawak.
Sarawak. Yeah.
This was the first non-peninsular Malaysia Cup final.
Yes.
And it
So you
was
can
held at
see.
Merdeka.
Yeah, so you can see that era, Sabah and Sarawak, they really produced so many outstanding players in that era. So yeah. So that they took sort of filled in the gap that which Singapore left for me.
Yes, I want to mention from that Sarawak team, of course, Mazlan Wahid was a goalie.
Oh
John
yes.
Hunter. John Hunter was a
The big
pain,
striker.
was a big
Yeah.
pain. He was so difficult to mark. And he had Gigi Boge.
Yeah.
He's
Oh
lost
yeah,
his teeth.
correct. Now he's retired and quite fat in Australia.
He was already big in when he was playing football as a professional,
Correct.
or rather semi-professional. In fact, the league became professional in 94. Became Liga
Correct.
Perdana, no more semi-pro league, right?
It
16
was
teams
still a semi-pro status, but the league was only rebranded as a Premier League.
rebranded.
M-League, yeah.
Okay,
It was called the
yeah, it
M-League.
became, I think it became only fully professional in 1996.
Ooh.
Okay. So you've mentioned this team 95. What happened, Steven? We lost touch already. We lost touch with Malaysian football after Singapore left the league. Tell us what happened in 95.
Sabah won the FA Cup. They managed to breeze through. They beat Pahang in the final 3-0. I can't remember who scored the goal, but of course, you had Matla Marjan and Scott Olorencho, the twin partnership up front, so devastating.
Madlan Marjan,
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah. So, I think they were kind of expected to win the league that year. And I think for the first 7 games of breezing through, they were whacking everybody, like they were winning like out of 7 games, they won out of 8 games, they won 7 games or something. Then, as I mentioned earlier, the scandal of 94 didn't stop there. Again,
Mantap
out of
Mahjong
sudden, yes, out of sudden, Matla Marjan together with about six or seven, eight key players
kena. But
were
Sabah were already affected from 94 as well, because 94, I remember after that infamous 0-7-0 win at National Stadium for Singapore, Sabah suddenly suspended five players, including your cap the captain, the goalkeeper. I remember the reserve goalkeeper was Austin Oro,
M.
who,
Pavlamani.
yeah, correct.
Yeah.
So Austin Oro had to be go for the rest of the season. Poor him, not the best, but you're stuck because your first choice goalkeeper was suspended. Sarawak actually was one of the main beneficiaries because they were I think probably the only state that's not badly affected by the scandal, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
Because I
they had all the
remember.
key players.
Because you also have Ong Kim Swee, Jalil Abdul Ramli, the captain.
Yeah, Ong Kim
Yeah.
Swee, yeah.
Then that time,
Effendi
94, you got Jeff
Julaili.
Kiram, Jeff Curran, the sweeper. The
Effendi Julaili was there.
All right,
Shamsuddin
yes. Oh,
Abdul
yeah.
Rahman.
Yep, Shamsuddin
Yeah.
Abdul Rahman,
Yeah.
yeah.
Effendi Julaiye, yes. And also, this 95 season bucked the trend, right? It was no longer a double winning season for the league champions.
Well, actually, most of us thought it was going to go in that direction because Pahang won the Premier League. They took the Premier
Yeah.
League title. And in the semi-final, they overcome Sabah. They managed to beat. In fact, to be honest, the Malaysia Cup final 95, we were expecting on paper, you're expecting to be an all Borneo final because both
Okay.
Sarawak and Sabah were considered like the form team at that time. But
Okay.
surprisingly, Sarawak choked in Kuching. They lost to Selangor 3-1 and oh, sorry, 3-2, and they could only manage to secure a goalless draw in Shah Alam. Whereas Sabah, on the other hand, they were expected to, I mean, they had a full house crowd in Likas, but they lost 1-0. Scott Lorenzo, I think, missed a penalty shoot over the goalpost. But in the second leg, they actually came back. They came back and scored the one. They won 1-0. Managed to force the game the penalties, but that's when they lost to Pahang. So, with Pahang and Selangor in the final, of course, the expectation is that, Pahang basically already won the Premier League. They're expected to win the Malaysia Cup double. But it was another very epic finale whereby, you had chances going on both ends. And it was the first time ever the final was decided on what we used to call the golden goal rule. Scored by none
Okay.
other than David Mitchell himself,
David
whom
Mitchell,
we
right?
have, whom in the we had the privilege of interviewing him in the Bola Bola show together with Sharil Ashraf, another player from that Selangor, legendary Selangor side.
Yeah, I remember the episode, yeah. And
Maybe if I add something.
one team you forgot to mention, I think we need to speak about them, Perlis.
Oh yeah.
And they had a certain player who was
I
Who won
don't know,
the
bro.
World Cup?
I I don't know, but when I read the newspaper, I was trying to think to myself, this is a joke or what? Because Furlis did quite bad in the year before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've
But
always been like whipping boys, right?
that
Correct.
year, I would say, you know, they probably made the sign of the season in a player called Emil Mbombo. For those of you who don't
Mbu.
know, for those of you who don't
Mbu.
know, he was a Cameroon legend for the indomitable Lion teams from Italia 90.
Yep.
I think the player who was sort of given the responsibility to man mark Maradona, if I'm not mistaken. So, but he came, he there was a there was a an aura, like the whole team was galvanized. And that was the time that Perlis just opened their new stadium, the Kangas Stadium. They were playing in the floodlights for the first time. Prior to this, most of the games Perlis will play is in the afternoon game, their
Afternoon,
old stadium. Yeah. I think same thing also goes for Sabah. Sabah used to play in
Sabah, yeah,
Penampang
correct.
Stadium,
Sabah
which
also
is,
played in the afternoon, yeah.
yeah. So little, I mean, they surprisingly, they pulled it off. They managed to qualify for the Malaysia Cup. I mean, the context is that back then you do well in the league, you qualify to the Malaysia Cup. That is some kind of achievement. So Perlis was one of the team, and another team that's surprised us the whole year was Brunei. Man, how do they do? How they were they
Brunei
I think they
was
finished
another one
bottom.
that's like whipping boys, right?
Yeah.
They I
Well,
remember them, they were whipping boys.
but I think Brunei, they were unaffected by the Geylang scandal, so they had much of the team intact, and they had the better imports as well, if I'm not wrong.
Probably in the entire league, the better paid players.
Correct.
Yes, that's
And
true,
tax
undoubtedly.
free.
Yeah. And then what happened in the 96 final? Sabah against Selangor. So this time your classmates had the better of you, or in fact you had already left school, I guess, at that time.
Oh no, still in school. Still, I mean, I was in
Okay.
Form 4 that time.
Okay.
Of course, this time you could say my Selangor classmates had the what they
I have
call
last laugh.
the last laugh lah, basically. But again, it was another final that was very intense because both Sabah and Selangor were really going at each other. But I think Selangor were pretty much dominating the game because it's almost like playing on home ground. And I don't think there were that many Sabah fans who actually traveled to watch the game because you got to remember this was pre-AHL days, so ticket price can be very expensive. Not many people could afford it, so it was almost like a Selangor home game. And Khairul Azman, who was a Sabah goalkeeper at that time, earlier we mentioned he was in Pahang, so he was a wall. A man was a wall that day. I mean, every single attempt they couldn't penetrate him, and even one point Selangor had a penalty. He saved the penalty. Unfortunately,
Who
he was
took the
only the
penalty?
hero. Was it Scott Lorenzo? I think so. I can't remember.
Scott Zerosha was
Can't
playing for Selangor at that time, 96.
Sabah.
Oh, Sabah.
Yeah. So Khairul Azman only became the hero in 120 minutes because in the penalty shootout, he was a Selangor goalkeeper. I'm trying to recall his name. He was the hero and helped Selangor to defend the Malaysia Cup title.
And talking about Selangor, so that season did Selangor win the league?
No,
Did they win the double?
Sabah took the Premier League title. First time the Premier League
Sabah took the
title.
Premier League title. Oh,
First time the Premier League title
Sabah.
won the Borneo side. Yep.
Okay, that's pretty formidable team then. Sabah had. So this was basically a final, and in the league campaign, in fact, Selangor, where did they finish?
I think
Do you
Selangor finished at
remember?
the top four, top three. Sabah was first. I think maybe Selangor was second, or maybe either Selangor Kedah was second.
Yeah. Okay. So it's been some time since Selangor won the league, right? We're speaking about this. We've not mentioned too much about Selangor. They won the Malaysia Cup twice now, 95, 96, but not yet the league. And talking about Selangor, so they had signed a pretty big signing. It made a very, very big signing called Tony Cotty, someone we're all familiar with because if you watch English League, you know who he is, former West Ham player. He suddenly appeared in Malaysian shores and played for Selangor.
And even the new paper reported it from Singapore.
Yeah. And he got a shock of his life when he found out he had to wash his own boots. Remember that story.
And
That
also
was
having to endure a
something.
much different culture with his team captain.
I mean, it was definitely a cultural shock to him for a lot of reason, from where he used to be and where he's coming from. But
Correct.
it still amazes me how did Selangor pulled off the signing, because if I'm not mistaken, it was the first ever million ringgit
Yeah,
signing. Yeah.
million ringgit was it, or US dollars? Yeah, it was
Or maybe
paid.
US dollar. I can't remember what currency it was, but I know it was a
Yeah,
million
but I
signing,
know
lah,
it's a
basically.
million. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just solidifies Selangor's stature during that era of why they were known as a red giant. They had the biggest stadium in the country. They had the biggest following. They pulled the biggest crowd, and of course, for someone who that era, anything, you had the Red Devils in England. You had the Red Giants here. They're almost the same. I hated both of them.
Oh.
I hated both of them. So, but of course, unfortunately, by the mid 90s to the late 90s, I wasn't having the last laugh on both aspects, lah, you could say that.
Yeah. Can imagine that. And he didn't last long in Malaysian football.
Nah, he didn't last long. In fact, there's a lot of stories behind it, exactly why his departure. Some even argued that he actually even suspected that some of the games were thrown away, because he couldn't believe that when Selangor were leading 2-0 against Perak and they end up losing 3-2, if there was a lot of things going behind the scene. And next thing, I think, I don't know whether we ex anticipated it or not, but next thing we realize, he's no longer in Selangor. He's turning up for Leicester City in the new Premier League season,
Oh yeah.
scoring in a 1-0 win against Manchester United.
Oh. And did he score a lot of goals in Malaysian football?
I don't think he scored that many. I mean, he did score, but not that many. And partly because, local players at that time, they had this swagger in them. They were
Hmm.
not going to be
To be
dictated by
intimidated.
anybody. And especially in a player like Azman Adnan, who controls the dressing room very strongly, has the commanding respect among all the players and coaches. And this is not just, simply what you call buta-buta respect.
Yeah,
He has the control in
he
the dressing
earned
room,
it.
and he
He
proves
earned
it
it, right?
on the field. I mean, he
Yeah.
proves it on the field. The month score is legend. And I would kind of say that to some degree, maybe Tony Cordy's ego was a bit goyang already, lah,
Affected.
after seeing that this local lad
I think it's not
producing and
just
performing
Azman
better.
Adan. There's also the team captain Ismail Ibrahim, who was also quite influential in the dressing room as well.
And Tony Cotti was then replaced by another player that played in the Premier League. In fact, before the show as well, Gary pointed out another player that played in the Premier League that played in the Malaysian League in around that time, David Rocastle, former
Correct. Yeah,
Arsenal
Leo
player,
Castle. Yeah.
played. Yeah, the late David Rocastle played for
Sabah.
Sabah. Yes, was he
Quite a
part of that
legend.
team that won the league?
No, he only came in 97. He wasn't there in 96. But I understand from many of my friends who follow the Sabah football team back then, Leo Castle commands a huge respect among the Sabah team, because he when he came, he point he did I mean he did pointed out what was wrong in terms of how the players carry themselves, how they take care themselves and everything. But he also was guiding them, teaching them,
He was humble.
as professional footballers, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to get things done, as opposed to trying to be a superstar, showing off anything. But he sort of, took that leadership mantle within the team, and I think most of the players today, fans alike, speak highly of him.
Okay, and then Chris Kivomia came. That's another one. For, I think at that point he played for what? Ipswich, if I'm not mistaken, former Ipswich player.
I know he's
He
an
came in
Arsenal, but I don't know where the clubs, yeah.
Arsenal. Yeah, I think Arsenal was only after his spell in Selangor. What impact did he have on the Selangor team? Was he like Tony Cotty, or was he more like David Rocastle?
I would say it's more like David Rocastle. I think he endeared himself to the team. And of course, he became the hero in the Malaysia Cup final that year. Again, Selangor played Pahang, and I think it was again a golden goal, if I'm not mistaken. He scored, yeah.
And he was actually on loan from Arsenal that season at
On
Selangor
loan.
for Selangor, you know.
Oh,
So can you
that was
imagine?
rare.
There were
That's quite
rumors
rare.
actually Ian Wright was coming to Selangor, you know. There were
Oh,
rumors.
is it?
Yeah.
Okay. But that didn't work out. Okay. Yeah, Gary, you were saying something?
I was actually surprised that he came on loan. I thought he was bought. Chris Keogh.
Okay.
This is the first time I heard that a player came on loan from a Premier League club to Malaysia. That is a rare thing. It's quite rare
Yeah.
from Premier League.
He had,
If you say lower league,
so,
it's possible, but it's
yeah, true.
But I think by
But I
then
think
his position in Arsenal wasn't, I mean, he wasn't really a surplus to requirement, because this is
yeah.
Arsenal in the years of Arsene Wenger, so they were
Correct. Yeah,
already
correct,
consolidating a
correct.
team that's going to win the Premier League. Obviously, he had
Yeah.
no place there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, Steven also mentioned earlier that, the kind of foreigners Malaysian football attracted in those days was something else altogether.
Yeah. I don't
So
know
in
whether you guys
the,
remember. I don't know
yeah.
whether you guys remember who was the top scorer that season from Perak.
Khalid Jamlus
Nah.
was before his time, right? I don't remember, man.
He came in halfway the season and ended up being the top scorer for Perak.
Who?
I think it's Laszlo Respasi, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that name's quite familiar now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Laszlo Respasi. We didn't talk much about Pera. Was I don't remember Pera being strong probably in the Northeast, but in and around this time, I think, do you think Pera was what did how good were Pera?
I mean, they were definitely a mainstay. A mainstay. Yep, correct. Laszlo Respasi. He came in 97, scored 19 goals in 26 appearances for Perak. So yeah,
Wow.
he was a predatory goal scorer at that era. The thing is about Perak, that era, I wouldn't say they you I mean they how do I put it? I mean, if I were to pick a team and compare them in English football, not a team that is going to challenge for honours, but a team that definitely is a force to be reckoned with. You know, I don't know whether you want to put them in the category of Spurs, or I mean, I'm not too sure where do you guys want to put
I
them, but
think at that era
they're
you
a
can
good
compare
team.
it to Chelsea a bit. Chelsea
Chelsea, yeah. That's what I was
probably
thinking, like Chelsea in that era.
probably Chelsea, yeah.
They
The
were
thing is,
winning
Chelsea
cups
is
and
more
all,
of a
but
Shira. But this Pera wasn't winning trophies in that era. That time hasn't yet arrived. It will come in another few years down the road. But for during that 90s, the mid-90s, they were a team that will challenge for things, but they don't necessarily win it. They really had a good team, and going to Ipoh wasn't really an easy ground for any team, visiting team. It's always going to be a tough place to play.
And Selangor completed a three-peat of the Malaysia Cup titles, 95, 96, 97. That's
Yep.
something. But they haven't won the league. And it just got worse in 98. What happened to Selangor then?
Honestly, by this time, I have to be honest, you know, Malaysian football was pretty much taking a back seat.
Dwindling, is it?
Yeah, we can see that the decline for the local game was sort of going downwards. I think a lot of it has to do with the disappointment when the national team didn't achieve winning a medal in the SEA Games in 97. There was a lot of hope for that team to continue to do well, but that didn't happen. And I think, you know, in a way, 97 also was the year that when Malaysia went through a very tough recession
Yeah,
and
financial
so
crisis, yeah.
financial crisis, and I think it also badly affected on the league, on the teams as well.
Actually,
And also
I have a question here for you guys because I thought that it was in the immediate aftermath of the match fixing scandal that swept the peninsula that impacted the league. But 95, 96, the crowds did not go down yet, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, you know, whenever I hear people complain about, you know, match fixing and all that affected, no, not really. Because you see, even 95, 96, 97, you still had that huge support for the local game. People still will go out and watch, you know, Malaysian football. And yeah, you can put it to blame on Astro for bringing Premier League into this show and making it free, more easily available. But you have to bear in
Yeah.
mind, even in the 90s, you know, not everybody can afford Astro. Astro wasn't
Yeah,
cheap.
correct, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
for a package of that era, you have to pay almost in the range. I can't remember what's the figure, but you're talking about somewhere in the 600, 5 to 600, which is a lot of money for 97, not now. 97.
And
So
also
it's.
we had to like go and we want to watch it, we had to go to a shop to watch it, a mama shop or a
Oh, that's another
seafood shop or
oh, that's another
something.
challenge. That's the challenge because it's so expensive. Mama Shop also couldn't afford it. So the only place you can go is like Bangsa to a club or bars and all that. And that time when most of us, especially those around my age, we were still in school, we didn't have money, So I don't I even that also I disagree lah when people every time put the blame on EPL. I think it's a lot to do with the fact that when financial crisis happened, it really affected people's life. Maybe that time, a lot of things had to take a backseat. People had to tighten their belts, and football just happened to be one of it. And this was also the year where simultaneously we had the World Cup. Everybody was going through the World Cup fever, and then just after the World Cup, we had the Commonwealth Games.
That's nice.
That
yes,
was
yes,
another.
I remember
That was
that.
Another fever by itself. And by the time all this was over, I think not. Largely, people don't remember that actually what happened in the 1998 Tiger Cup. If you ask any people today, what happened, nobody could recall what happened, how bad it was, how forgotten it would.
But from the Singapore side, I can remember. But I will add something though, because Malaysia in 98 sent a very unusual squad to the Tiger Cup. It was a squad of, it was unusual that Malaysia would send an experimental under 21 or under 23 squad, because when Singapore played Malaysia in that first game, it felt unusual. It's like Singapore were so in control, it's like the goals were coming. It's just that we were not going out to wallop anybody.
Yeah, I mean it was the knock-on effect from 97, because once that the
well you've
because 90, once the Youth Cup team disappointed, once the senior team disappointed in the SEA Games. FAM took a very extreme measure by disbanding the whole team. And foreign players were still available in 98. They were still there. I think Penang had this player called Merzagwa Abdul Razak.
Yep,
I think
correct.
He became the best player in the league. And I think Penang surprised everyone. They won.
Penang won the league title.
Penang won the league title that year. That was a big surprise. So we could see that there was a
Azman
change of
Adnan
fight
was playing
there.
For Penang, right?
Not yet. He was still playing in
Oh, not
Selangor,
yet.
But the following year, 99, because of the ban on import players, Penang could not retain their I think Merzago Abdul Razak was one of them. I can't remember. There was another player, one Brazilian player. So they had to look for local stars. So Azman Adnan was brought in.
Okay. And so that Penang team, what do you recall about them?
I have to be honest, I can't recall that much about them, but I know for a fact that they, even when they won the Premier, the league itself, it took everyone by, most of us by surprise. Because up to that point, we did not see them as a team that is going to, shake things up. The most maybe we can expect them, maybe they qualify for Malaysia Cup or finish mid-table, but to win the league, well, I mean, you need to get some Penang fans, some long-time Penang fans to come into your show and ask them drill deeper to see what was the story behind it.
Because I remember from the Penang victory when I saw on TV, because RTM was still available in Singapore, I remember the then Penang chief minister coming on to pitch site to celebrate. That was the only thing I remember.
Yeah, that's the only thing I remember.
And along
I
with the foreigner
honest.
You mentioned, along with the foreigner.
And Selangor got relegated. Was that a big shock?
Yeah, it is a big shock. I mean, who would have expected after all the razzmatazz they have created in the years before that to suddenly get relegated? I mean, it was quite surprisingly what happened. I'm not too sure exactly what's the reason, but I think it has probably have to do with the patron who was holding the Selangor team at the time, the Menteri Besar, Aini Taib, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know whether is it because he stepped down and there was no kind of proper support for that Selangor team to continue, and coupled with the fact that it's the economic crisis at that time. I don't think money can be spent on beefing up a football team, signing big names, big stars, and all that to come, especially when even the attendance were also dwindling as well.
Oh, okay, and okay. Just going back to the Penang team, I've got the squad here with me. I mean, I've managed to find the squad. There's a player called Bala Conde.
Oh, yeah.
Bala Mando Conde, is it?
Yeah.
He later played in Singapore.
Bala Conde was playing for them. There's a player called Moi Kok Hong. Chinese player.
I think all-time veteran player.
Yeah, these are players that I recognize from looking at the squad. The Brazilian guy, I can't really find his name though. Shoaib, there's one Zahidi Shoaib. I think he's probably Iranian. Yeah, so that was a Penang team. I mean, whoever is listening to this, you're a Penang fan, big fan coming from that era. Let us know, share your thoughts. We would love to hear from you. We would love to feature you as well. So let us know about that Penang team.
I
So,
think
I
we
mean,
did mention about Perak earlier, right? I think 97 was the year that Perak were emerging as a new force in Malaysian football because they won the Malaysia Cup that year, beating Terengganu in the final. It's one of the rare occasions that suddenly we've managed to see a capacity crowd in a local game. And I think it was the first final to be held in the Bukit Jalil National Stadium. And it was a good turnout for the fans. Although the final was not very memorable because I think it went to penalty shootout, but Perak won. I think it sort of kicked off a new era for Perak football that will go into the new millennium, and also for Terengganu as well. I think Terengganu was also beginning to become a force in the game, and the coach of Terengganu at that time, I think he is, I think it was Abdul Rahman Ibrahim, who later on will take up the national team role. He was the assistant coach to Karl-Heinz Wegen for the 1980 Olympics team.
So that's interesting facts shared by Steven here. So we started off here, and then as the years gone by, I think we've just dwindled the, wouldn't say the, as the respect for the league has gone down. It just feels like the interest has gone down over the years. We're talking about 90s here, from the start of the 90s to the near the end of the 90s. And I mean, as you mentioned, it probably be various factors around it. We'll speak about the national team in a different episode now, next episode. But for the league, I think, how would you sum up this era for Malaysian football, the Malaysian League, Steven?
For me, it was exciting. It was colorful. It was, a splendid time. I know for a fact that a lot of people might argue for many other reasons. How why the football today is much better. Maybe in terms of the quality of the game on the field, because the players today are more conditioned the way they play the game. Yeah, maybe you could argue it's much better. But back then, the fanfare. The unexpected twist, the fact that you had so many different teams, you couldn't figure out one specific team that is a force in the game. There's so many teams. As you can see from the winners of the Premier League, the winners of the Malaysia Cup and the FA Cup are all different teams. So, it speaks
So it
a
was, yeah.
volume about, yeah, it speaks a volume about the competitiveness of the foot
Competitiveness of the league, yeah.
of the league of that era. Of course, that's the bright side. On the dark side, of course, it was also the beginning of things where it was all going wrong for Malaysian football. Not that it was going right all the time, but I think this is where, eyes are beginning to open even wider when you have foreign football available and you're seeing the quality, the stark in contrast. And you are every time reading the papers of the football authorities not taking the proactive measures to do something to improve. Keep hanging on to their job, keep coming up with one excuse after another, being too politically involved and all that. It definitely had a profound effect on a lot of fans lah. The fact that even till today, we are still arguing about why people prefer overseas football than local football, and why for the fact that football, we still can't get that kind of crowd again back to the stadium. It's like suddenly a generation of fans just wiped out, just disappeared. Even I'm trying to figure out what happened to them. Why suddenly out of nowhere, people who used to make it a regular point to go and watch game suddenly decided not to go at all. Like they went and disappeared. And it's been quite difficult for a lot of teams to pick up the pieces. But I can only hope that that those days will come back, lah. That's the only thing I can say, lah.
Ready? Any last words?
Actually, I want to add something where I forgot to mention earlier, but I thought about it while the session was going on. Hastim Harun was the one player who actually stayed in Malaysia after Singapore exited the Malaysia Cup. He carried on playing for Johor from 93 until 97. He returned to Balestier Central in 1998. And since then, he has been there, very quiet, although on occasion, a few members of parliament and those who those few who still recognize Hasnim, they'll take photos with him, but he's largely very quiet. He's not active in coaching or in football administration.
Yeah, that's right.
And the
Yeah, it's
thing
good
is,
point. Good potential guest for us.
And actually the thing is also this. Embu did so well at Perlis, but when he came to Singapore, he ended up spending more time stocking up all the electronic products to send back to Cameroon than playing rugby on our pitch. True, true. That's what Richard Woon told me.
There was another also ex-World Cup star who came to Perlis after Emil Bobo.
Who? Also from Cameroon?
No. In fact, he also went on to manage his country at the World Cup.
Not Rigobert
Song.
Question.
No.
Who?
Stephen Keshi.
What year?
Oh, Nigeria, yeah.
Who?
Stephen
Keshi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which year though? Which year did he play for Perlis?
I think he came 97.
Okay,
I think by 97, he pretty much already was at the tail end of his career. I think even 94, USA 94, is one of the elder statesmen of the team. So yeah, he actually played about a season here. Then after that, I'm not too sure whether he retired. But in 2014, he was on the sideline for Nigeria against Argentina. So when I was seeing him on the sideline, you know, it felt a bit... there was a bit of a nostalgic feeling, you know. And once again, you know, I think that the question will always ask, you see, you know, we always argue, what is our Malaysian players all are doing? And the fella can play in Malaysia, can end up coaching a team at the World Cup. Because this was the same question was raised when Claude Leroy turned up as one of the 32 head coaches in France 98.
Correct.
It's like we always point the blame on him. He couldn't do much for Malaysian football, but he ended up coaching Cameroon at the World Cup. So who is the problem here now? You know, those discussions always turns out.
And the thing is, Leroy not only coached in just one World Cup, he coached in another World Cup after that as well.
I think 2002 as well.
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay,
I think
okay.
After 2002.
Claude Leroy.
He wasn't for Nigeria. Sorry, it wasn't for Cameroon. Not sure which country he coached, but I think it was 2002 or something like that. Yeah, I can't remember.
But the black mark for Claude Leroy, Malaysia.
In his
but it's not
illustrious career.
Because that one unique incident involving Leroy was in the pre-Olympic qualifying between Singapore and Malaysia in 95. What he did was he put in one player as a sub. A few minutes later, that poor player who got subbed in got subbed out at the national stadium.
It was for Ghana, I think. He was a manager for Ghana. 2006 World Cup. Yep. That's Claude Leroy's second World Cup appearance.
I mean, let me ask you guys. I mean, the fact that once Singapore pulled out, that's when it coincided with the S-League. I mean, how would you describe the football scene at that time in Singapore?
Actually,
because
what
I think I mean just hold on, let you go before I let you go, Gary. I mean, at that time, honestly, the internet was not really as prominent as today. So information, even though we are neighboring countries, the information exchange is almost like never happened at all. Like, we don't even know what was going on with you guys in Singapore.
Yeah,
I think it took me almost 2 years to finally watch again all those players in the 96 Tiger Cup. That was after 2 years only, I'm beginning to see Fandi and all the other players. Because for two years, blank, zero. I can't even, I never even see them once or so. So maybe you guys can share a bit.
Okay.
96 was the start of the S-League.
Yep, correct. But beforehand, in between 1995, what happened after when Singapore exited the Malaysia Cup was, ironically, Abah stayed behind to help Singapore play in that Philips International Tournament, which included a Swedish club, Osters, a Korean team, Estegar of Iran, and the Singapore pre-Olympic team, plus one more Thailand national team. Then after that, all the players in that squad, by then Abbas is out, they all end up being the first national team to play in your own local league, the Premier League. So they went and walloped every team, including one away game against Darwin Cups, but they had a spectacular 2-2 draw with Geylang International at the National Stadium. But football support locally had dwindled a lot. The headline Act in 1995 was when 4,000 turned up to watch, you can say, the second tier game involving Wellington FC because they signed Sundramoorthy. 4,000 turned up to see a second division game just because of Sundram. Serious.
Yeah, but it picked up again after that in 96 when the S-League came about.
Okay. Because in 96, what happened was FAS decided on policy where you can have a maximum of 3 national players per squad. So depending on the allocation, of course, the rule doesn't apply to Fandi. Fandi is allowed to sign for any club he wants, and he's the only player with an unlimited salary cap then. All the rest have to adhere to the salary cap.
So he was like a marquee signing for the league.
Super marquee. Mm. That time he chose Geylang United, which was the new name for Geylang International. Although for one time, somebody once suggested behind the scenes to change it to Bedok United. Had been called Bedok United. But coming back also, 96 kick off with a bang because the government was involved in it, was invested in it. You got your one of the leading CEOs, the late Kwek Ling Ju, a leading businessman to be in charge of running the league with Patrick Ang. Douglas Moore became the CEO. So there were a lot of ideas, a lot of governmental support. And of course, when you got all these national players playing in your backyard, your Bedok Stadium, your Yishun Stadium, your old Tampines Stadium, your old Jalan Besar and all these things, crowds were coming to see their heroes. Crowds were coming in because it was a very new thing. And suddenly when you got Malaysia Cup stars that you see in 94 coming, like your Irvin Boban for Woodlands, or Thibaut Sazban
Billy
for
Bone.
Billy Bone for Sabawang at first, That's when you know that the S-League indirectly take the thunder away from the M-League. Quite a lot of thunder.
Okay.
And also they had the Iranian players that went on to play the World
two.
Cup.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Muhammad Kamal, Hamid Reza, Estili.
Hamid Reza, Estili.
Then later 97.
Yeah, the Thai players as well.
The Thai players began from 97, 98, but another Iranian player who played in the World Cup signed for Balestier in 97.
Ali Reza Mansouri.
All right.
Yeah.
The Thai
that's another thing that was mind-blowing. And I was, one of the things I like to do is look at the squad players in every World Cup. And for some reason, I'm just curious to which club they play for.
Yeah. Same.
And somehow or other, when you look at the list of clubs, you always look at the flag because the flag is the one that tells you who probably gives you an idea who are the best players in the team. Because if the flag is not the country's flag, it means they're playing somewhere. And that gives you an idea they must be the best players in the team. And it turns out when I look at the Iranian squad, there's a few Singaporean flag. I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? printing error or what?
No, there was no printing error. It's just that probably it was very cheap and affordable to get those players. This was down to Abo Fazl, whom I had the good fortune to meet him in the 07 Asian Cup when he was helping out for Iran in KL. He was the one who helped me get the interview with Wahid Hashiman when I couldn't get Ali Karimi, and no thanks to the media officer. Abu Fazl was the one who got the two Iranians plus Jalal Talebi to Geylang United in 1996.
Jalal Talebi, yes.
So you got the international flavor shifting a bit towards Singapore. Although in terms of marquee signing, Singapore never did anything. Embu Embu was a big failure. I mean, we already talk about the electronic stuff. So the less say on that, the better.
Okay. So actually, good point you raised there, Steven. After these two episodes with Bola Bola Show, we're going to have a S-League show where we're going to feature the teams that are now no longer in S-League.
Okay.
So look out for that episode as well, coming out probably about 2-3 weeks' time. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that brings the end of this interesting, nostalgic episode on M-League in the 90s. I think brought back a lot of memories. And although at a certain point, of course, those of us in Singapore, we got detached. And as like what Steven has said, the exchange of information wasn't as rapid as it is today. So that's probably a reason why we also lost track about what's happening in Malaysian football as well. But, Steven kept us abreast today with all that's happened over the years. And so it's been good fun. Thanks a lot for the time. Sharing this episode as well. Gary, thanks for coming on the episode. Steven, thanks for the idea, first of all.
Nah, no problem, man. I mean, it's anything that walks down memory lane is always good for the heart as you come to a certain age, lah.
Correct.
Of course, of course. Okay, it's me, Ra, signing off. Ciao.
Bye-bye.